Heavenly Father, I thank you that you will never let us go. You are greater and bigger than we can imagine. Whatever we are facing in life, you are greater than that. You are right there with us. Lord, restore to us the joy of that vision. Thank you for the greatness of who you are. Lord, I pray today that we would just have a greater sense of awe for you and the work that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I am privileged and blessed more than I deserve. I have four fantastic children. They are my joy and my delight. One of them is a seven-year-old boy, and he's just a blast to parent. I love just messing around with him. And you know, a lot of you think this boxing match a couple weeks ago between Pacquiao and Mayweather was a big deal. They're nothing compared to when Zach and I go at it. Now, he may want to say otherwise, but I am the reigning family champion. And I'm 2 feet taller than him, that's true. But, you know, I'm going to take advantage of it, and I am the reigning champion. He has more energy than he knows what to do with. He's incredibly creative. He's a joy to be with. But when he gets bored, we run into trouble. Boredom is no good for anyone. If you think about it, has anyone ever done anything good when they are bored? But you know, the harsh reality is many of us get bored in church world. There was recently a survey of 35,000 people that was just made public this last week by the Pew Foundation, and it had headlines like these all over the place. And any way you want to interpret the data from this survey, you cannot deny the fact that we are a less Christian country than we were 10 years ago. And most of you are thinking, I didn't need a survey to tell me that. It is pretty obvious. But the headlines were pretty telling about what people were thinking about this. But one of the interesting comments that was buried away in this report is that a common response to why people were leaving the church or walking away from Christianity is that it was boring. Wait a minute. Christianity is not boring. Now, unfortunately, some of us in church world may have made it boring. And I can't help but think that we've got a lot to answer for to God. How could we have made his story boring? You know, I like on my Twitter feed getting these pictures every once in a while saying, you had one job. And it's just like this one right here. You had one job. All you had to do is write out the word school. Church leaders, all we have to do is tell the story. And somehow we mess it up so badly that we get meetings that look like this. And so I apologize for all the times that I have put you to sleep over these last few years. But regardless of whether my mannerisms or whatever it might be put you to sleep, I pray that today you would catch a vision of the splendor of what God has done and the greatness of what he is doing. And then that we get blown away that God says, hey, I want you to come and be involved in my work. Being a dad of two young boys, it's always interesting to see them working on their little projects. And they will work hard, and it might be a Lego creation, or they'll just reach into the recycling box and take old cartons and boxes and so on and make a rocket ship or something. It's phenomenal. But it's the death sentence if the other brother comes anywhere near the creation and messes with it. Because this is important, big stuff. Don't get anywhere near the work that I am doing. Which makes it all the more amazing that God is doing a work that is incredible. And he could be just like my boy saying, stay away, I don't want you to mess up what I'm doing. But instead, God says, yeah, I know you're a mess, but I want you to come and be involved in what I'm doing. Think about this. God made the universe out of nothing. When time began, there was just nothing. And God spoke. And when he spoke, billions of stars and galaxies got flung into space. But it wasn't just chaotic. God made the world that we live in, and the earth is incredibly fine-tuned. There are all kinds of forces at play around us. You have electromagnetic forces, you have a strong nuclear force, you have a weak nuclear force, you've got gravity. Do you know what, if the gravitational constant was adjusted by 1 over 10 to the 60. Now 10 to the 60, when you hear a number that big, you just can't get your head around it. But you take a 1 and then put 60 zeros by it, that's a huge number. If it was adjusted by one part in 10 to the 60th, our world would be uninhabitable. God has made everything in a fine tension, a perfect design, so that we could live here in this world. After God had created the universe, the earth, he then went to work on the stuff in the earth. And the culmination of his creation of earth was us, humanity. He made us in his image. And then he put us in a place that was essentially heaven on earth. When you read the creation account in Genesis, it says that after everything God created, it was good. But then after he created humanity, he didn't say it was good. He said, it is very good. That's what God says about us. That should make you feel like, that's pretty cool. Now, lest you get proud, it isn't because of us that we deserve any of this. It's because God is so great. He said, I'm making you in my image. I am going to give you the capacity to love, the capacity to choose, the capacity to relate with me. And then he put us in heaven on earth. What a fantastic start. But then trouble entered. We, the human race, rebelled. We wanted to have the right to be our own gods and to choose what is right and wrong. And the Bible calls this sin. When Adam and Eve fell to the temptation, we all fell with them. We all have this innate urge in ourselves to be in control. God, I know you're telling me to do X, Y, Z, but I would like to do A, B, C. God, I want to have it on my terms. I really want to be the one in charge. And when we sin, we're separated from God. It creates devastation. It's the fall. And the world has been a mess ever since Adam and Eve fell. And we carry on that rebellion. And God says, because you have rebelled, because you have chosen to go your own way, because you want to be gods, I can't have that sin in my presence. I have to deal with that sin. That's bad news. It gets even worse because God says that sin is so serious that it has to be paid for with a life, our own. That is really bad news. But fortunately, that's not the end of the story. There's more to it. God is still working. And God says that he looked at us and he loved us. In spite of our sin, in spite of us wanting to do our own thing, saying, no, God, I'm going to do it my way. God says, I love you. And I know that I have demanded your life for your sin. But because I love you so much, I will choose to be a victim in your place and offer my life for yours so that you can have a fresh start. So how did God do that? He stepped into history. He stepped into our world as Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birth on Christmas Day. Jesus is fully God and fully human. He is part of a plan that God had been putting into works since before time began, so that we could be restored to him. And in this plan, there are more curveballs and more drama than we could ever imagine. The Old Testament is all about the great lengths that God went to give us a Savior. And all the way, Satan tried to mess it up, and then we tried to mess it up too. But when God sets out to do something, nothing is greater than him. So Jesus stepped into the world. When he was 30 years old, he went public with his ministry. And Jesus was kind to the downtrodden. He healed the sick. He was a friend to children. He reached out to those that society rejected. That's Jesus, meek and mild. But there's also another side to Jesus. Jesus ripped the hypocrisy of the religious folk. He threw the con artists out of his temple. He was God, and he wasn't going to tolerate this sort of thing. But then he allowed himself to be killed by the very people that he had exposed their sin. He allowed himself to be killed in order to be the sacrifice that we all needed. He allowed himself to be killed so he could be the victim in our place. And when he hung dead on the cross, the dreams, the hopes of all of his followers came crashing down for a weekend that probably lasted an eternity. But then 3 days after he was nailed to the cross, he crushed sin, death, hell, and the grave, and he rose from the dead. And he rose from the dead to show that he was greater than all of these things. And after rising from the dead, he then invites each of us to follow him. That's the incredible story that Christianity is all about. So how can we mess it up and make it boring? Somehow we've lost sight of this incredible story. We've gotten distracted from the mission that Jesus has invited us to join with him. And we've reduced it to a social club and committees upon committees. And God must be just shaking his head in heaven saying, I gave you one job. Just tell the story and jump into wherever I tell you to go. And if we had that vision, I promise you it'd never be boring. Dorothy Sayers said this, in church world, we have effectively declawed the Lion of Judah. We've certified him meek and mild, and we've made him a household pet for pale clergy and pious old ladies. What a tragedy. What a miss. We had one job. So what do? In church, what's the message? What's the mission? This is who we are. When you come to Christ, you get written into this incredible big story. And God says, I'm going to include you. Yeah, I'm doing something incredible. And yeah, I know it's a risk putting you in there. Just as Ben can walk over and mess up Zach's Lego creations, you can come in there and make a mess of church. But I'm still inviting you to come in. And yeah, I know you're imperfect, but I'm going to work on you. And I'm going to make you more like Jesus in the way you think, act, and speak. And I'm going to use you to help build this incredible church that I am working on. This is part of the story that God has been doing for thousands of years. And he invites us into it. It's who we are. We're written into the story. What do? We're called to reach others by inviting them into this story. We're called to build one another up so that we think, act, and speak more like Jesus. And then we're called to deploy to wherever he calls us, doing whatever he wants us to do. For some, it may be overseas in faraway places. For the majority of us, it's going to be right here. And he wants us, as we go through life, to be sharing this story. But you know, sharing this story is something we can get all nervous about. Well, I don't know how to say it. Stop. Relax. Think about what God has done to reach you. This is your story. God says, I'm not asking anything that's too hard for you. I just want you to know me and then tell others about me and what I've done. That's what he invites us to. You can open in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. What does this all look like? This is what we as a church are all about. It says this in Colossians chapter 1. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a group of new Christians. And he said this, the end of chapter 1. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This summarizes what church is all about. This summarizes who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. Him we proclaim. That's Jesus. Him we proclaim. Jesus is the one that God had said thousands of years ago, I'm going to make him the Savior. And you're going to try all kinds of things to make sure it didn't happen. People are going to kill him thinking they've gotten rid of him. But I'm going to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Jesus is going to rise from the dead. It's this incredible personality, Jesus Christ. He's not a timid house pet for a pale clergy. That would be guys like me. He's the Lion of Judah. He transforms people. He wants to go with you through life. As you show up to work Monday morning, you're not alone. You have the Lion of Judah with you. Maybe you're sorting through some difficult family issues. God says, I will be with you, and I will give you everything you need in these circumstances. This is the Lion of Judah. It's him we proclaim. God calls us to proclaim him, and one way you can say that is we are to reach people for Jesus Christ. We reach people by telling them who he is and what he's done for us. And then we invite them into the story. The verse goes on, and it says, we're warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. This is building up people. We build one another up so that we think, act, and speak like Jesus. And when you realize how great Jesus is, what could be more exciting? What an incredible privilege that God says, hey, I want to involve you in this work that I'm doing. It's far bigger than you. It's not just a social club in your community. I'm inviting you into this cosmic story that I've been working on all throughout time, all around the world, and you can be a part of it. And he wants us to be built up to think, act, and speak like Jesus. And the goal is to present everyone mature in Christ, to be growing in him, so that we can deploy in the story to take the role that he wants us to take. You see, God has gifted each of us in different ways. Remember, go back to the beginning of the story. He has created us in his image. Every single one of us in this room are a masterpiece, a work of art. Because the greatest artist made you. And he has gifted you and wired you, and he's given you a personality. He's allowed experiences to happen in your life. And he says, I'm doing something phenomenal with you. Will you let me keep working through you? And the reason I'm doing these things is that so that you can be equipped and prepared to tell others about this story and get them written into it. This is who we are. This is what we do. Well, how do we do it? It's hard work. When you look at this passage in verse 29, it says this, for this I toil. Paul is saying, this is what I am. This is what I do. Can you imagine if each of us had this mindset? We got a couple hundred people right here that if you're saying, yeah, this is what I want my life to be about. And as we go out from here to our homes, our workplaces in the week, knowing that this incredible king is with us and wants to work through us, God can turn this community upside down. And he's just saying, come on, get with the program. Get with the story that I am putting together. It's hard work. Many of us serve faithfully. God calls us and he uses us in different ways. But he never calls us to do something beyond what we're capable of. Because if you think about it, when God says, I will be with you, the sky is the limit. I love the tension you see in this verse. It says, I toil, struggling with his energy. God says, yeah, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to act, but you're not going to be alone. You're going to jump in, but I'll be right there with you. I'll give you the words to say when you talk to people. I will give you the grace you need to have the character and the response that you ought to have in difficult situations. You know, we've talked a little bit about our children's ministry earlier this morning. And this is a picture from a recent children's event. We were raising that. No, just kidding. Just kidding. We don't need to do that to be exciting because we have such an incredible story. What our hope is that children would say, this is amazing. And from a young age, they would say, yeah, I'm gripped with the idea that this king came from heaven to die for me, and then he rose again, and he wants to live life with me. If our kids get that, the schools will be turned upside down. That's what we want. In Psalm 89, it says this, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. God wants the older to pass it on to the younger. He wants parents, he wants adults pouring this story into the younger ones. And we can do that as a church. I said that you can summarize what we're supposed to do with these three words: reach, build, deploy. Think about this, how this would play out with our children. We want to reach every child that comes through these doors with the good news of Jesus Christ. We want every child to hear and believe the gospel. This is the same vision for adult church. I just substituted the word children. We want to reach our community with Jesus Christ. We call our children's ministry Run Kids. We're Cedar Run Church, but we want Run Kids to run to the cross, to be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. We want our children to be built up in the faith, to walk with Jesus. We want every child that comes here to know what the big story is. We want children to be able to learn to discern right from wrong, to stand on the absolute truth of God's word as our society just drifts away from believing in absolute truth. We want our children, just as we want our adults, to think Christianly. As different issues come up, there will be issues 10 years from now that we aren't even thinking of now. But if we're all grounded in Scripture, we'll be okay. Deploy. We want our children to have a vision for a Christ-centered, God-honoring life. To have a vision for the great work that God wants to do through them, and to use their gifting to advance God's cause all around the world. That's what we want with our children's ministry. That's what we want in our adult ministry. But as we're talking about children's ministry, I'd like to have Babette come up. Babette, we have enjoyed talking about this some, and we each said that this is going to be an unscripted interview, right? So here we go, all right, let's go. We said we talk about it, and we said this is something that should just be in us, and if we can't express it and it's not in our heart, well, we should be in a different line of work, right?
Yes.
So I love your heart for the Lord, and I'm just glad that my children are in ministry with you as they've been with Nadita. They've grown, and so I'm excited about that.
But thank you.
What what goes on a Sunday morning? It's nothing like those wagon races that we were showing earlier.
No, it's not. Okay. It's not. But before I address that, first I want to thank you all for allowing me and the Lord allowing me to be part of this ministry. I grew up believing Jesus was my Lord and Savior. It wasn't until I was age 30 I got my first Bible, and I realized I could have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Very different than Jesus is my way to heaven, and then I can have this relationship with Jesus. So Sunday morning for us is introducing children to that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. It's not just knowing that we're sinful and that we have a Savior that offers us an opportunity to be in relationship with God, and then we'll go to heaven one day. That's the great and glory. But that he can walk through us and with us every day of our lives. This world is full of darkness. You touched on the darkness. The world is full of darkness. Our kids are hearing so many messages to take them away from God. So Sunday morning is a time when the kids come from infant through fifth grade that you individually can love on them. You can share the light of Christ with them. You can mentor them. And we have that in each. We have nursery, toddler, our preschool, kindergarten group, and then our first through fifth grade. It takes each one of you, the body. Well, I might be the mouthpiece. I need the hand. I need the eye. I need the leg to help us as a body, as a church body, to raise these kids in the faith, to stand strong.
Amen. So if we're looking for ways that we can serve within this, how do we go about that? What are some of your needs? You need people singing? Do you need people doing crafts, teaching? How can we fit? Yeah, okay. What does it look like?
Okay. We need a variety of people. In the nursery, we need those that want to just rock the babies, love the babies, and play with them. In the toddler room, they're a little more rambunctious. They're getting around. We want you to get down there and play with them. Sing them a little song. We're gonna start a curriculum there in the fall where they'll get a little bit of a Bible story, a little bit of a craft, not too much because it's gotta be age appropriate, but really your role there is just to love on them, to make them feel safe and secure, and to hear the word Jesus. Jesus loves you. As we go into the preschool and kindergarten rooms, we're looking for people who would like to teach that message, a short message, a craft. Fifth through sixth grade, we're leading them in worship. We need worship leaders. I think all ages, we would love to have music. That is not my gifting. I am not the musician. So we really need people who would love to sing songs with the children. And then those have breakouts of first and second grade, third and fourth grade, and fifth grade as teachers. And those teachers rotate on a monthly basis.
Very good. Okay. So, and if someone wants to do this, what do they do?
You contact me.
And how do they do that?
And you can contact me via email. You can call me, my cell number. Next week, maybe I can get with Stu and we can put some contact information in the bulletin. You can track me down. I spend a lot of time down in the pre-K room. So if you want to come down the hallway, you can come and see me there. You can contact the church office and they can forward your email to me. But my email is babettearnold@mac.com. So
very good. We'll track you down.
You track me down.
This is a great chance for us as a church family to rally together and serve together. Now, there's more, though, to our children's ministry than Sunday morning,
There is.
So what are some of the ideas that are getting kicked around?
Well, we talked about going out and deploying. So not only raising the kids in the faith, but in service. We have opportunities like Kids Serve, where kids come once a month and learn about serving others. We have Vacation Bible School, where kids in the community can come and hear the gospel. Many of them have never heard the gospel message before. This year, we'll be doing it in-house, July 7th through the 10th. But my goal for next year, 2016, is to hope to get out in the community. Those that are lost do not come to the church first. They need to hear the message. They need to see the light to be drawn to the church. So we have to get out of the walls. So hopefully next year we'll be doing some backyard VBSs, maybe going to Herndon Community Center or something, and reaching, going out with the gospel message. So those are some of the things we're looking at. We're looking at inviting the community September 12th to a family fun day where we can reach out to the community and show the love of Christ. We're also having October 15th, we have Cynthia Tobias, who is a known speaker, writes books. Her most famous one lately is The Strong-Willed Child, but how God has created each child unique and gifted, and in that, how do we not squash that spirit of the Lord, how God created them, but how do we grow out the potential of what God has for them? Amen. So there's a variety of ways to work in children's ministries without being in the classroom. We have a playground out here that we need some little tender love and care out there. If you're a yard person, that's a way to serve as well.
Great.
We also want to introduce the kids to our missionaries, and we'll start that in the fall as well. Each class will have an opportunity to learn about the missionaries that we pray for. We'll be writing them letters and finding ways that these children can minister to them.
Very good. Anything else you want to tell our congregation here?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Just that I am truly very excited to be here. I'm humbled by this. When I was growing up, I had no desire to have children. I had no desire to get married. I just really wanted to make a lot of money. The world told me, go out there, get an education, and just make your money and do your thing. And God really worked on me personally, and that my calling was not to go and be a CEO somewhere. My calling was to be exactly where I did not want to be. He has equipped me to work with children. He equips me every day. It is not my gifting. What you see here, I hope, is you see Christ. You don't see me. I hope you see Christ, because he's the one who has gifted me to be able to do this ministry. So thank you for allowing me to be here.
Amen. Thanks for that. I'm glad you're on board. So, Babette, we're really glad to have you on board. And folks, I'd encourage all of us to be thinking through, what's your role in the story? Maybe some of you, God is just nudging and he's pulling you towards children's ministry. And for others, it may be something different. But the truth is, God is scripting an incredible story. It's greater than anything else we'll be able to read, greater than any movie we can watch. And the amazing thing is, he invites us, with all of our shortcomings and flaws, to join the work that he's doing and the story that he's writing. And he summarized it like this: him we proclaim. We want to reach people for Jesus. We want to build people up so that we're all thinking, acting, and speaking like Jesus. And we don't want to just sit on that. We deploy. We go out. And God has gifted each and every one of us for a role. He didn't want any of us to just sit there and do nothing. And when you think of the splendor, of the glory, of this story that God has put together, how can we sit still? Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a people who are gripped with your greatness and with all that you've done. Lord, I pray that you would overwhelm us with the story. And that, Lord, we would just be compelled to say, here I am. God, I'm not exactly sure where I fit, but by faith, I believe that since you've made me, you've prepared me for something. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us a desire to serve you. And we may or may not even see reward right away from it, but give us faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you would use us as a congregation to reach this community with the good news of Jesus Christ, and see people come to saving faith in him, and then to grow in him, and then that they would in turn go out and tell others about Jesus, because that is what you want. And Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts that we would say, we want what you want. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together.